Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello,
yo.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas and Happy
Merry
Kwanzaa!
Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa!
And Merry Christmas!
And Happy Hanukkah and Diwali! Big shout to you and everything that y'all celebrate. And Happy Holidays!
And
my
Merry
people.
Christmas!
Yeah.
So, if you've been listening to us for more than a year, then you know that I love Christmas. This is my favorite holiday, hands down. It's officially
Christmas is cool.
No, it's
cool.
The one.
It's all right.
It's the one. It's the one for sure. And so it's officially Christmas Eve, and okay. I'm in the Christmas spirit.
All right.
Are you in the Christmas spirit?
Always, all year round.
That's a lie.
I don't even need Christmas
That's
to
a lie.
Celebrate Christmas.
First of all, Alan's not always in the Christmas spirit, and I don't even think you're in the Christmas spirit today.
Whatever.
So let's talk about it. We cannot not acknowledge the wonderful day that's bestowed upon us.
Let's do it.
Okay, so what are your plans for Christmas?
So we're bringing my mother-in-law home for Christmas this year.
Aww.
It's a surprise for the kids.
Wasn't she there last year?
Yeah, but it's different, okay?
How is it different?
Yeah, you know how like your
last couple years she's been there.
All right, let me ask you a question. When Santa Claus rolled down the chimney, mm-hmm. weren't you excited every time?
Every time.
Didn't you feel surprised?
No, it was
kind of.
No, I was never surprised.
Like, you didn't know
job.
You were getting coal or if you were getting gifts.
I definitely knew. And
you were bad.
First of all, I wasn't bad, and it wasn't a surprise. He has one day to show up, so it's not a surprise.
We mostly spend Christmases with my wife's mom and dad. It's just that it's not every Christmas, and it's like a surprise this year because it wasn't talked about. They didn't know.
So you kept it under wraps?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's okay. And so the mother-in-law is coming, and then is there a big dinner plans?
We're going to do it up.
Who's cooking? And if y'all don't know by now, it's not going to be a good meal.
Probably my wife's cooking, I'm going to say.
Probably.
I did teach my son how to make jerk shrimp the other day. So
I saw this.
He might make some jerk shrimp.
I saw this on social media.
It was good, too.
But
I can't lie.
If you're a Black family, don't you need to know well in advance who's cooking the meal? Like, things need to be marinating, seasoned, brining, all of that.
Well, in some cases, you don't have to be involved to eat. So,
but I'm saying,
I would be eating.
Okay. Do you know who's cooking the meal, though?
Not really. I know what we cooked. I know we're going to glorify the birth of Jesus with the food. There will be gravy involved.
Listen,
I know that.
You might glorify the birth of Jesus, but it might not be with the food. That might not be seasoned enough.
Oh, it will be.
Okay.
It's the season for seasoning.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Are you excited about Christmas?
Of course I am.
Okay. All right. Not as excited as I am.
The issue is I really spend like a lot of time celebrating Jesus. So like,
God.
I'm also celebrating him today. You know what I'm saying? Or tomorrow.
That's not quite the truth.
I don't know about you, but you know, I celebrate the birth of my God.
Reach.
I don't know about how y'all do it in y'all house.
Preaching. Okay. But I am excited about Christmas. I'm always excited about Christmas. This is my favorite holiday. This year is very, very different for... Mm-hmm.
Mainly because y'all celebrate Kwanzaa.
No, that's not why.
Yes.
No, so one, it's my first Christmas without my dad. And so, you know, I'm not going to hold you. I'm taking it kind of hard because Christmas is like my biggest holiday. So it's been difficult. Like even we put the Christmas tree up last week and like I'm so used to my dad coming over to see my Christmas tree. And so like the fact that he wasn't going to walk through the door hit me pretty hard, like once we were all done with it. So that's going to make Christmas different this year. I'm in a relationship this year and like we're spending Christmas together and the families are all going to be together for Christmas and I'm hosting Christmas at my house. They're not going to be with us on Christmas Day, but they've been with us all weekend. And so that's been super, super nice. But for me, that's very different from how I typically spend Christmas. I typically am like pretty quiet on Christmas. And this has been like a really, really big family-oriented Christmas celebration this year. And that's new for me, but it's been beautiful, right? So it's been beautiful. It's been great in that like it helps me feel supported in like this Christmas without my dad. And then also it's just, I'm doing all the, you know, boot up Christmas things, matching pajamas and all of that. But no matter what, I love Christmas because I love the season of giving. Like that is my real reason for loving Christmas. I love that it's the celebration of Jesus's birthday. Y'all don't got to argue with me if it was too cold for Jesus to be born outside in a manger. Like I'm not really here for all that. It's just the day we're acknowledging it. So I'm going with it. And Jesus is really important to me. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about birthdays in general. So I definitely would go up big for Jesus' birthday, but also because it's the season of giving. And I feel like it'd be great if we were in the season of giving year round, but we're not, right? Like we are focused on a million other things. And if there is one season, whether it's commercially induced or not, that requires us to think about others, I'm with it.
We've been giving all year, haven't we?
What have we been giving though?
Facts.
Yeah.
Knowledge. Game.
Nonsense. Foolishness.
Mainly from you.
Reckless abandonment at times. So
I'm saying like, we're going to keep on giving. And I agree. Like Christmas is a great holiday. I know I was joking earlier and I am excited about it. I'm excited about really the family being all together. That was the biggest memory I had growing up is just my family being together. We would always go to my grandmother's house and I'll be with my parents and my in-laws and all of my kids. Like my son went away for college. He'll be home for a couple of weeks and it's kicking off around the Christmas time. So super excited about that as well. Yeah. One thing though about being a parent is like, it's a little exhausting. Like the kids want stuff and you want to endeavor to make sure it happens between you and Santa Claus. But it's a lot, like especially the kids get older, the wants get different. Pretty soon there will be cars on people's Santa Claus lists and, you know, so it's a little exhausting. And so there, I will say, like, I look forward to that restful sleep of Christmas Day. I always end up passing out at some point during the day.
Yeah, I'm sure that's like a regular parent thing, like after you've made Christmas happen for your children, whatever that looks like, whether they believe in Santa Claus or not. And then you've put the meal together, whether you paid for it or prepared it, at some point you are ready to lay down, especially after you've opened your gift and all you got was like some socks and a sweater after you don't work your tail off all year to provide the best Christmas ever for these children. And all they came up with was some pot holders. Like, I get it. You definitely want to take a nap.
Yeah. But I'm excited that you're going to be really spending some time, not just celebrating Christmas, but also Kwanzaa this year. I know you're all about Christmas. I recognize that. I don't take anything away for your love for Christmas. But like Kwanzaa is another celebration that it's complementary to Christmas. It's not in conflict with Christmas. It happens after Christmas.
I do appreciate that. I do appreciate the fact that Kwanzaa starts after Christmas for sure. But what Alan's alluding to, if you didn't hear this on a previous podcast episode, I will be celebrating Kwanzaa this year. For my boyfriend, Kwanzaa is very big in their family. It always has been. It's very, very important to them. They celebrate it thoroughly every year. And so this year will be my first Kwanzaa.
Mm-hmm. And Kwanzaa and Christmas aren't that different if you really break it down.
No, like, I think they are.
No, they are. I'm talking about the rituals of both. Mm-hmm. The meaning of both. I'm just saying like...
The spirit might be similar. Sure. The rest is wildly different. There's no white man involved.
Yeah.
In
white man. Wait.
Santa.
Oh gosh. Your Santa's white this whole time?
He's bicultural.
Really?
Yeah, he's multicultural. But like there is no singular man that's responsible for the giving of gifts. There's no tree. There's something.
But hold on, let me tell you what you're talking about, what there's not. I'll tell you what there is.
Okay.
So they're both focused on family. on community, on culture, okay? There's light being featured and celebrated. There is the giving of gifts, and sacrifices that have been made all year are being recognized at this time. Like, it's very much a family celebration.
No, I get that.
And it's steeped in values. Maybe they're a little different, but the values are important family values nonetheless.
No, for sure. And I'm being lighthearted about Kwanzaa. I am excited about celebrating it this year, for sure. And I'm excited to be celebrating it with a family that takes it very seriously. And I do understand there are really, really meaningful principles that we are actually going to talk about today. I just don't want y'all to keep acting like Christmas and Kwanzaa are the same thing. They are two very different things. And let's give them each their own credit.
And it's great that you said that, because that's what we're doing today. We're giving you Kwanzaa for Christmas. Like, that's the gift that you're getting.
That's Alan's gift. That's Alan's gift. I'm giving y'all Christmas for Christmas, and Alan is giving y'all Kwanzaa for Christmas.
Okay. But it's the lessons of both that we'll talk about, because I think there's a lot of financial implications to the values of Christmas and Kwanzaa. And so we're going to break it down today. And I will also say, like, given that, you know, last week, Tiffany really embarrassed herself thoroughly when asked on live mic, like, to name
the principles of,
like,
Kwanzaa.
I said name three. Like, there's seven. I asked for three, and she could only name her roommate's first and middle name.
That, like, doesn't matter that it was her first and middle name. The answers were correct.
Yeah, but I asked for three, and you couldn't even tell me what the meanings of each of them were.
First Kwanzaa hasn't started yet.
Okay.
Okay, so, and maybe you should blame the public school system.
So listen, so part of this is for you, and I will say, so Kwanzaa started out in 1966, and it was really in the height of the Black Power movement, and when it first started, controversially, it was meant to be an alternative for Christmas, and then in the 70s, it became more integrated with Christmas.
There we go.
A compliment to Christmas.
So it's the history that I have a conflict with, because...
But by the 70s, it was all unified.
And that's why I'm on board. That's why I'm excited about it. And just for the record, just for our listeners who are interested, how many years have you celebrated Kwanzaa?
Pretty much every year. For the most part. It's like every day.
No,
really.
Because you're Black?
Kind of. It's like in my blood at this point.
Well, a little bit, because you're light.
But, you know, I did go to a historical college, and I did actually pay attention. I did graduate knowing all seven.
I'm sorry. I also went to the same exact historically Black college.
You don't know these principles, my guy. Like,
you don't know them either. And
okay, we'll see.
We've researched the show now. And
we'll see.
You would never. I've never seen you celebrate Kwanzaa ever.
Okay. So first of all, you don't see what I do when I'm away from the podcast.
We're in office together. We're around each other all the time. I've never seen you light a candle, especially not a red, black, or green one.
Yo, are we calling each other out for Christmas?
You already started.
It's Kwanzaa for Christmas. Okay. So the celebration of Kwanzaa, first of all, it's about families and communities coming together to share a feast. Okay, there's a Christmas meal involved. Okay, feast.
Can it be pancakes and champagne?
Sure. That's the champagne. I don't know if that's quite Kwanzaa-ish.
Okay.
The pancakes I'm fine with. I'll go with the pancakes.
You're fine with.
But you're affirming the bonds between the families, and you're also celebrating African-American culture.
And that part I do love, right? And so we are making light, and we are having a really good time. But I do really appreciate this celebration of just African-American community. Christmas is very universal. And it's also, I'm fully aware of how commercial it is. And I do believe and love kind of like the authenticity and intention of what Kwanzaa is about. So I am excited about celebrating this year. And I am actually excited about talking about it today on this podcast.
So during Kwanzaa, again, it's 7 days. It happens the day after Christmas is when it starts. But every day you light a candle and you highlight the principle of the day, and you breathe meaning into these principles with a bunch of different activities. It could be reciting sayings. It could be watching movies. It could be singing songs. And it's also exchanging gifts. And sometimes the gifts are poetry and it's handmade. Sometimes there's drumming. And again, it's really just about honoring our past. It's about just being more mindful about how we come together moving forward. And a lot of planning can come out of Kwanzaa.
No, absolutely. So I am planning for Kwanzaa. Like, this is not something I'm just going to throw myself into. Like, I've purchased some of the Kwanzaa gifts already.
She's talking about buying stuff. No. I'm talking about planning the rest of the new year.
Yeah.
Like, how do I want to move differently?
No, I get that. And it's about
honoring Kwanzaa.
Intention, but it's about, yes, it's about honoring Kwanzaa. It's about honoring yourself, family, and community. And the intention moving forward throughout, I do recognize that for sure. And like I said, so we are planning. So we've kind of like put some days aside. We are going to discuss our intention for 2024. Beautiful. And how we are going to strategically map that out. Mm-hmm. And what that means for us, what that means for our community and kind of our family.
Okay. You are going to need some stuff. Let me go through your list of things that you need.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to need a table I know you've got a table.
Nice ones.
Okay. But you've got to decorate it in the symbols of Kwanzaa. So you're going to need a canara. Canara. It's a.
Which one is it?
Canara.
Okay. You don't know.
It's a candle holder. It's a 7 candle stick.
You should see him struggling. You should see him struggling. Okay. You should see him struggling right now. All right, so I have a question about this.
Okay.
All right, and this is for all Kwanzaa celebrators and Hanukkah, okay? When it comes to these candles, okay, right? Because you're supposed to light a new candle every day.
Sure.
Do I keep the other ones lit or am I relighting all of them?
Relight. By the 7th day, all 7 are lit.
But what I'm saying is, so the first day you light the first one. Mm-hmm. Do I light it, then blow it out? And then the next day I light 2?
You want it to burn for 24 hours? You got to burn it out. It's blow it out at some point.
Just asking the question. Yeah. No one provides the manual for how this goes. And so again, so on day 2, I'm lighting 2 candles.
Yeah.
And then just blowing them out.
Mm-hmm. And you can sing happy birthday. And you got to make a wish.
No.
Okay.
All right, I'm just trying to.
We're making this thing up a little bit. Like, that's the thing about African American culture. Like, it's like what we've decided to do ourselves versus what's been put upon us. It's us coming up with our own celebrations, our own rituals. So that's how I think it should be done. But I want you to do it the way you see fit.
Yeah.
If you want to leave that joint lit the whole 24 hours, you go for it.
That's the real spirit, ain't it?
You see what I'm saying?
Having faith.
You're going to need a makika, which is the mat that the candle sits on. You don't want the wax just dropping on the table.
Depends on what kind of candles you have.
Okay. You know, our guy, Dr. Ron Karenga, he thought of everything with this celebration. So you're also going to need some mohindi, which is corn, to represent the children. Okay. Don't ask questions. All right. Just do it. Then you need some mazao, which is the fruit, to represent the harvest. And then lastly, you need the zawadi, which are the gifts.
I need all of this on day 1. Do I roll it out 1 at a time?
You're going to need the candlestick holder, which is called, again, I got to repeat this, the canara. You need that. Okay. The makika, the mat underneath the candle stick holder, that's got to be there. The corn should be present the whole time, as well as the fruit to represent the harvest.
The fruit doesn't go bad.
Oh, for 7 days?
Yeah, have you left apples, fruit out for 7 days?
Of course, all the time.
Any particular
green
fruit?
Green bananas is perfect. They turn yellow by day 7 and then eat them. Grapes, apples.
I don't know if you're supposed to leave grapes out for 7 days.
Put them back in the fridge, bring them back out overnight. You know what I'm saying? Like, put them out, y'all celebrate, put them in the fridge, okay?
So every night, I'm relighting all the candles and I'm bringing all the fruit back out.
And the corn.
And the corn.
The corn could stay.
How long do these things stay out for the evening? What, till I go to bed? Mm-hmm. Put them up before you go to bed?
Yep.
Okay. And am I taking them out first thing in the morning or am I waiting until we relight the candles?
You see what I'm saying? Like,
because we go to
what works for you? Like,
what do y'all do?
Well, you know, we tend to leave this stuff out. Like, to real talk, like, we sometimes use plastic corn and fruit. Okay. So then it just kind of stays. It's just easier that way. Okay.
I don't
especially think the mazal.
I don't think it was the intention to use plastic.
You also might want to put some flags up. African flags, maybe the Pan-African flag. But generally the colors of red, black, and green need to be represented within Kwanzaa. That's important.
What flags do you put up?
So I have a lot of flags in my house. To be honest, I've got the Barbados flag. I've got the Jamaican flag. I've got the...
Which ones do you have up for Kwanzaa?
I put them all out. Yeah, I do. I'm dead serious. I put all of them out. Yeah. Because we experienced the diaspora. We've been just put all over the world. We've been taken from our homeland and we've been put in these places. And the red, black, and green is in all of those flags.
No, 100%. I'm asking what happens in the boomer household because I've been in your house. I've seen a Morgan State flag.
You know what? Let's go. Because she's coming for me. We're going to get into these principles and y'all going to learn today. All right.
No, we are going to talk about the principles when we get back, but I'm not going to allow Alan to lie to y'all about who he is as a person. I'm looking forward to celebrating Kwanzaa this year for the first time, and it might be Alan's first time as well.
Whatever.
But we'll be back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer. I'm very pro-black.
We're the Momentum Advisors.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed-sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We are back.
Yes.
And we are talking about Kwanzaa. It's Kwanzaa for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're talking about both holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is approaching as well as Kwanzaa. And typically, we really only focus on Christmas because neither one of us have celebrated Kwanzaa before. But as I've acknowledged, this will be my first year celebrating Kwanzaa. And so we really are going through the principles and we're really just highlighting the celebration of just this season for African Americans and for all of us.
Yeah, and Kwanzaa, again, the principles are really all about developing strong families and developing strong communities. And it really is centered in the African American culture. But these are lessons that really any culture can appreciate for sure. The first one is unity. The word in Swahili is go ahead.
Umoja.
Mm-hmm. Was that one of your roommates? it's umoja. And the notion of umoja is to strive and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. And so some of the financial aspects of unity, buying black, spending money with small businesses, supporting your friends who start businesses, or just supporting them in their endeavors in general, whether it's a financial endeavor or not.
Yeah, and this is something that we've always focused on, right? Like outside of Kwanzaa, just who we are as a people, who we are as a firm, who we are as entrepreneurs, right? Just encouraging others to buy black, to support your friends, to be a black entrepreneur, to support us. But we definitely think this is a principle that's super important and that's integral to the economy.
Yeah, so on that day, you know, the leader of the celebration for the day, they say Habari Gani, which is what's the news? What's the word of the day? And then you say Umoja. And then y'all could have a discussion about how unity is going to be a theme that y'all, you know, incorporate into your lives in this coming year. Some of the ways are financial. Some of the ways is just showing love and support. Like I'll tell you one little way that I try to be on unity all year. I don't care what the fundraiser is. I don't care if the kids are selling popcorn, Girl Scout cookies, or just out there raising money for their basketball teams. Like I always support because I know what it's like to be a kid and be tasked with these fundraisers. I know what it's like to be a parent and to be tasked with these things. And I just want to show unity. I want to be that type of person in my community that folks can count on. And I think when it, you know, and I don't do it because I want folks to support me. I just do it because it's right. And I know what it's like to feel supported as well as what it feels like to not feel supported.
And when I think about unity, when I think about this principle, I do think about charity, right? And mm-hmm. I think in order for us to be unified as a people, we have to be charitable to one another, mm-hmm. regardless of what that looks like. It doesn't have to look like financial at all. It could just look like giving of your time, giving of your resources, giving of your knowledge. But whatever the case is, like in order for us to be unified, in order for there to be true unity amongst us, like we do have to be charitable in all ways.
Yeah, we got to support each other. Like we are all we got at the end of the day. The next principle is self-determination. And in Swahili, it would be kujichagulia. And self-determination really speaks to defining ourselves, naming ourselves, creating for ourselves, and speaking for ourselves. And really like the thing that
I love this one
that struck me about
this is day two.
Self-determination. This is day two.
Speaking for yourself.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one. This is my favorite day.
Oh my God. All right. So talk about it.
As I'm learning, I really like this one. Speaking for yourself, talking for yourself.
Yeah. It's just being determined, right? So, I mean, like believing, we talk a lot on this podcast about what starts in your brain. Like you've got to believe that you could be financially successful. You've got to believe that you can start a business. You've also got to be willing to bet on yourself.
Yeah. And I love that. So, I mean, again, you guys know us, even though we were talking about Kwanzaa and this is something that we are learning thoroughly for the first time. You guys have been following us. You guys are our family. You've been with us for a really long time. And if we're not talking about anything, we're talking about self-determination. I honestly think that's the intention of this podcast. That's definitely what last week's show was about. But it is about just like believing in yourself, like taking the knowledge, using the tools, getting the experience, partnering with who you need to partner, listening to whoever you need to listen to in order for you to be empowered to do what you need to do for yourself, for your family, and for your legacy. And so self-determination, believing you can be financially successful, believing in your ability to start a business or get a promotion or get a degree or make a change, betting on yourself, whether that means starting a business or just doing better or being better. That could be in your own wellness, betting on yourself and doing better in your personal wellness or your personal wealth journey. Watching your words. I'm very, very big on this. I think people are harsh in how they talk to themselves. And you can't bet on yourself. You can't have self-determination while you're also beating yourself up or you're really hard on yourself. So watch the words that you use when you're talking about yourself.
And I like that this one comes before the word faith. Like faith is going to come up as well. But the reason I say that is that I think it's like easier for folks to believe in God, whatever their God is called, than it is for them to believe in themselves. It's easier for folks to believe in a sports team than to believe in themselves. Like this notion of self-determination, like I hope that your kids, who's ever listening, yourself, your kids, your family, the young people in your life, I hope that they walk away from this season with this feeling of self-determination. Like this feeling of self-determination says that I can solve my own problems. It means that I can do better than my circumstances might suggest. It means that I can break curses if they need to be broken. It means that I can just defy the odds that might be against me.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point, how easy it is for us oftentimes to believe in any and everyone else before we believe in ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. People will believe in, like you said, you believe in your sports team more than you believe in yourself. Alan somehow musters up.
Oh my gosh, here it comes.
The foolishness to believe in the Jets every single year more than he believes in himself sometimes.
I don't. I know they're trash. The issue is they're like a family member. Like, I can't turn my back on this team because that's my team. I've tried. I don't really believe in them, to be honest. Like, I'm hopeful. I just don't believe. But when it comes to me, I believe. And I was raised that way. Like, I really believed them when they said to me, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, I don't know if I wasn't supposed to, but I believed it when I was a kid. I believe it now, and yeah. I act like I believe it.
But we all have days, and let's be honest with each other. We all have days where we're not sure, and we second guess ourselves, and we're not sure how it's going to turn out, and we're not sure if someone else is better than us, when it's never really, really about that. And I think this principle is about just always believing in yourself, leaving that behind, not questioning who you are, having self-determination, again, defining yourself, naming yourself, creating for yourself, and as you said, speaking for yourself.
That's one of the things I love and admire about Deion Sanders. Like, I know Deion gets a lot of flack for how he operates, how he moves, but he's speaking life into his players. Like, he's getting them to believe in themselves at a level that if we can only borrow that, like if you could borrow just 10% of the self-determination that Deion Sanders conveys, right? And he's a man, he's a regular person that puts his pants on just like you and I do. But I'm saying, like, he's getting these kids to believe. And like, yeah, they didn't go out and win the national championship this year. But I believe that in those moments when they beat the teams they weren't supposed to beat, or when they just beat the person that they were up against, like, believing yourself is where it starts. And I think it's a really, really powerful principle.
So the next principle?
Abarigani, you mean?
No, that's not what I meant.
The word of the day? Is that what you're asking me about? In Swahili, habarigani?
I'm the next principle.
Okay. The next one is ujima. And that just means collective work and responsibility. And ujima is all about building and maintaining our community together and making our community problems our problems and also solving our problems together. And I love this one in particular because I really believe that when there's a group of people that has an issue, that group of people needs to be the ones solving that issue. Like, we can't always be waiting for the white knight or the external, you know what I'm saying, like, savior to come and save us. Like, we really got to start saving ourselves.
Absolutely. And this is something that we subscribe to and we're going to continue to subscribe to. I do love this principle. Maybe I should have been celebrating Kwanzaa all
day. See what I'm saying?
Maybe I am the embodiment of Kwanzaa.
Oh my God.
And I just didn't know it.
Maybe you should be Tiffany K. Hawkins, the case for Kwanzaa.
Nah, no. But I think we can come up with a better name than K. I think we should. I want a principle.
Okay.
I want a principle. So okay. maybe it's Tiffany Ujima Hawkins.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'll take it. No, yeah. But honestly, this principle of collective work and responsibility, maintaining our community together, it's really about together and always, and being responsible for each other. I know oftentimes people say, like, I am my brother's keeper. Like, we're always looking out for each other. I got your back. Like, all of those sayings refer to this principle. So whether it's coming together to solve some of your community problems, coming together to solve your own family problems, right? Like, just in our own household. Instead of just being like, listen, I ain't worried about them. I'm on my own. I got this. Just being a family and working together to solve, maybe one person is dealing with something and everybody just gets involved to make sure they're okay. That's a start. Maybe it's starting a nonprofit. We have so many listeners and clients who are always interested in starting a nonprofit. That within itself is to be there for others, togetherness, to be responsible for others and curing their needs. Financial literacy. I mean, that's a lot of the work that we do. For us, financial literacy is being responsible for making sure that our people, our community, has the information, knowledge, and wisdom that we've gathered to help build the wealth and resources that can enrich an entire world.
But on that note, like, during Kwanzaa, why not take out the time to focus on financial literacy with your family, with your kids? Like, I was asked the other day, like, how do I teach my kids about money? And a lot of it has nothing to do with money. Like, I've taught my kids the value of knowing that they've got to work, whether that be in school or their chores. I've taught them that money is not just for spending. It's also for investing. It's also for saving. It's also for philanthropy and charity. I've taught them the value of waiting. And that's really one of those key principles to investing. You've got to know that you've got to wait for the outcome. And the reason why this ties to collective work and responsibility, like, it's all of our responsibility to be financially literate. And it's not going to come from some mainstream movement started by some celebrity. It's going to start in your own house. It's going to start with you and your friends checking each other, like, being man and woman enough to say, look, I don't know about this, but maybe I could listen to a podcast. Maybe I could ask my boy who's good at this thing how I can get better at it, because I recognize that I have a responsibility for myself, but also collectively we're responsible for each other. The other thing I think about when it comes to ujima, I think about the ants. You ever see ants in the summertime? Like, the ants are working. They are busting their humps.
First of all, you haven't seen ants in the summertime either, but I have seen, like, the PBS special of the video of the ants, like, yo, all working
all seen
together.
Ants, like, at a picnic.
Cookout.
Like, you drop a piece of bread and see if 1,000 million ants don't come and try to break that thing up into small enough pieces where they can carry it back to their nest, because they know that winter's coming. Like, they know that they've got to work together or there's going to be starvation in their colony. And I didn't get that from PBS. I got that from the backyard barbecue.
Let's go to the next principle.
Habari Ghani again, I guess, what you are implying?
The next principle.
Okay. Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics.
We've done a whole podcast on cooperative economics.
And this is about building and maintaining our own stores, our own shops, our own businesses, and profiting from them together. It's about supporting one another, but it's also about ownership, right? And this is one of my favorite ones. Like, we've done, as Tiffany mentioned, a whole podcast episode on this principle. But back in the day, I think I told you, I used to have a barbershop on the campus of Morgan State University. And guess what it was called? She really ain't trying to say these principles. She's really fighting it. It wasn't called the Christmas barbershop. It was called the Ujamaa barbershop.
But were the economics cooperative? Were these haircuts cooperative? Okay. Were you cooperating with people's hairline,
oh my god,
tapers, and fades? That's the real question, because you don't have, it could be disrespectful to the principals if your abilities weren't cooperative.
So we got haters here. I don't think that's a Kwanzaa principle per se, but no. So our barbershop was cooperative. So number one,
it seemed like the barbershop was called Ujamaa.
It was called Ujamaa. It was the Ujamaa barbershop, my guy. Like, that's what it was called.
Alan, I've known you for 10 years. You've talked about this barbershop a million times. You've never said the name of the barbershop was Ujamaa.
That's what it was called, the Ujamaa barbershop.
Anybody who was at Morgan State in the late 90s?
You a flyer.
When did you? Late early 90s?
Late 90s.
Early.
I started it in 1997. Okay. Thank you very
much. So anybody who was at Morgan State in the mid to late 90s, if you were even familiar with Alan's barbershop, even if you didn't risk your hairline and you chose not to participate, I'm curious to know.
Hold on. I'm showing receipts. This is my bio from when I was Mr. Morgan State University in 1998. Just read that. Okay. He started the first on-campus barbershop called what?
U-J-A-M-A-A. I think it's an acronym.
No, man. That was the barbershop. It was called Ujamaa.
Okay.
So here's what we did. And I was a 20-year-old kid. Number one, every haircut was $5, which was market rate on the college campus back then. Today would probably be, well, I don't know what's market rate for a haircut. I don't go to the barbershop.
There you go.
Okay.
And that's how we know it wasn't cooperative.
But for every haircut people would pay $5 for, we took a dollar off the top. $4 went to the stylist or the barber. 50 cents of it went to a nonprofit that was doing tutoring in the Black community. We were going out to schools and doing things to help kids. And then 50 cents went to me because I set this whole thing up. And that's fine. Like, yo, and somebody's got to make some money in the Black community.
And Alan was also doing the tutoring and receiving the tutoring.
No, I was not. No, we donated to a number of different charities, but one of them was a tutoring program. But I'm saying, like, the notion of, like, cooperative economics, like, yeah, we got to own some stuff. We got to be willing to collaborate. And it's the only way we're going to get ahead. Like, it doesn't mean that I'm the only one that's going to win, because as I win, I'm going to support you and you're going to win. And it's just going to circulate. And that's what needs to happen a lot more, not just in the Black community, but just people in general. Like, we're giving all of our money to these big companies. Like, I as much as I'm an Amazon shareholder
and buyer,
I really hate spending money on Amazon. I can't lie, because I see where this is going. Like, Amazon is going to be the biggest employer in this country if it's not already.
I was going to say, I think it already is.
And, like, they're going to put all the small businesses out of business. I mean, sure, there's certain small businesses that feature their products on Amazon. But you won't be able to go downtown on Main Street anymore and go pick up a sweater or buy, you know, some pens and paper, because everyone's going to be ordering it online. And I just don't want to live in that world. Right. And so for me, this notion of cooperative economics means we need to be responsible with how we are doing business, because we're creating the world with every click of that mouse to buy something.
So I definitely know the next principle. The next principle is Nia.
Like Nia Long?
or my roommate from college.
Okay.
And it means purpose, right? And so when you think about purpose, it's about making a collective vocation towards building and developing our community in order to restore our people kind of just to our natural greatness.
I love that. And the financial implication is spending money with purpose, like really being mindful about what your dollars say about you, like not only who you spend money with, but like how you invest and who you invest with, who you do business with, being more purposeful. We talked about it on that last principle, this notion of cooperative economics. It's also with spending. It's not just how you spend your money. It's also how you spend your time. But what does your money say about you? Like, we've done a number of shows on, is your money racist? Is your portfolio ruining the world? And it really comes back to this concept of NIA and purpose, and recognizing that the financial decisions that you make every single day have an impact on the world way bigger than your own bank account.
So I like how you started that off, right? And I think this is something that resonates with me really well in my intention for 2024. Like, what does your spending say about you, and spending with purpose? You know, I am working on, again, I'm working on my intentions for 2024. I wasn't joking. Like, this is something that, like, we have designated a day for before the end of this year to really focus on and get on the same page with in 2024. And one of those things is like, where am I spending my money, and what does that say about me, and what does it say about my values? I think that's something that's really, really important for me to really get a grasp on, or just understand more. I don't know if I think there's anything wrong with it, but I think I just want to be a lot more intentional and aware in 2024.
And then just think about your budget, right? A lot of folks are going to do some planning starting in January. They're going to think about their budgets and think about NIA. How can I spend with purpose, but be going over my budget every month? How can I balance the fact that I'm being frivolous, but also not saving enough for retirement? Right? Like, we need to be really on purpose and not just letting things happen to our finance. We've got to direct how things happen with our finances. NIA. Big shout to NIA Long.
Oh my God. Big shout to NIA Long. Okay. Well, we've got a couple of more principles. We're working our way through Kwanzaa.
And Christmas.
And, you know, the more I'm learning, the more on board I can be. Not that I was ever not on board. I'm just, you know, I just wasn't fully aware. And to our listeners, listen, if y'all knew about everything about Kwanzaa your entire life, that's wonderful. And that says a lot. But for some of those who are learning along with me, I'm excited about it. And maybe we've convinced a couple of people that they're going to celebrate Kwanzaa this year.
Okay, go get that Makika.
We're going to break. I'm Tiffany Hoggins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the past.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring Black and Brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back. Kwanzaa for Christmas.
You see what I'm saying?
It's kind of a hybrid just episode.
Rolls off the tongue.
Not necessarily. It doesn't roll off the tongue, but.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus is mad at any of these?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah. So that's my point. I guess that's my point. You started off by saying like these were in competition with one another at some point in time. And I don't think anybody needs to be in competition with Jesus, period.
Nope.
Especially around such profound and important principles. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they squash the beef and that they cohabitate. And for that reason, I do think it's a beautiful celebration. To be honest with you, I think it's extending a really purposeful and meaningful season. And it does it in a way that focuses on the African-American community. And I do love that.
And on that note, would Santa be against any of these principles?
Absolutely not. Because he is definitely purposeful. He also is self-determined.
Okay. Okay.
He's definitely a strong advocate for cooperative economics. Clearly, he's gifting.
He's got elves involved in
facts.
His economics.
He's not doing it by himself. Reindeer, too.
You see what I'm
and
saying?
He also focuses on reindeer with disabilities.
Okay.
So if you think about Rudolph being different.
Okay. Definitely abled.
There we go.
Okay.
Right. And so I think Santa Claus embodies a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You see what I'm saying? It's all coming together. Okay. Merry Kwanzaa.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Is there like a...
And happy Christmas.
Is there like a red hat that has a green?
Mm-hmm. You see?
Like collar and
you
low?
See what I'm saying? Why don't we design this?
A Merry Kwanzaa uniform?
Yo, a Kwanzaa-themed Santa...
Outfit.
Outfit and doll.
And doll. I like the doll.
We'll give you that one for free. Start that company. We'll buy...
Will
you know
we?
What I'm saying?
We'll buy the items, not the company.
Not the company.
Okay.
Yes. We'll make that investment.
Yeah, for
we'll
sure.
Buy some. Okay.
How do you?
And he's got a big fro too.
Oh, facts. But he's in shape because we believe in self-determination and Ujima, right?
You see what I'm saying?
So we want you to be well.
It's your responsibility to yourself and the community to get your butt in shape.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay.
Black Kwanzaa Santa.
He's wearing sandals, though. He's not wearing boots.
Ah, okay. All right. All right. What else? He's stylish.
He's stylish, for sure. For sure. He has a beard. He definitely has a beard.
I feel like he's got a man purse.
Mm.
Like a leather one. Like a nice one.
Okay.
Like it's like a cross body situation.
Like a messenger bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Not like a fanny pack.
He's definitely got a beard, but it's trimmed up nice. Like it's not just like woolly. Like it's like... It is woolly, but I'm saying it's trim. You know what I'm saying? Like he puts products in his beard.
Right, but that doesn't mean he's got to be shaping it up. It's shiny. It's healthy. His teeth are solid.
I'm picturing like Ralph Angel beard.
Ralph Angel. You should have started there. You should have started with Ralph Angel. Word. This Kwanzaa.
Now you're saying is in a tank top.
This Kwanzaa doll looks like Ralph Angel. We can start and stop right there.
Okay. Okay. Let's get back into these principles. So you say Habari Gani and I say Kaumba, creativity. And creativity in the sense of Kwanzaa means to always do as much as we can to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than the way we inherited it. To be creative in doing that.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of different ways to do that.
Yeah, so one, you can be creative in how you solve problems, whether it's starting a business, funding businesses, raising your kids, just overcoming obstacles towards education, just being creative in how you overcome and solve problems or just tackle life. I don't think everything should be about the problems, right? Like how you tackle life, how you move forward in life. So being creative and figuring out what your next step is, how you're going to be happier, how you're going to be better, being creative in just, you know, how to help others, being creative in how to do better at your job, just to, again, just be a better human being. But yes, also being creative in how to overcome problems, even if they're not your own. Maybe there's someone else's problem. Maybe there's someone else who you see struggling in a way. How can you be creative instead of just handing them money or just telling them what they need to do? What are other ways you can be creative in helping make life better for others?
Isn't entrepreneurship closely linked to creativity?
Let me tell you something. If you're an entrepreneur, you're going to get creative. At some point throughout the process, you're going to have to get creative, whether it's being creative and how you're going to pay these bills, being creative on how you're going to get your next customer, being creative in how you can provide another service that can help and be another revenue stream for you. But any form of entrepreneurship requires some creativity.
And it's that word create. Like an entrepreneur creates, an entrepreneur sees a problem and creates a solution for it. And that's creativity. Like think about how many different businesses that you and I have started. They really all stemmed from seeing a void in the marketplace or needing something ourselves.
Or just seeing an opportunity. And to your point, seeing something ourselves. Like maybe the problem or the obstacle wasn't in the community. Maybe it was in our bank account. Maybe it was in our business portfolio that we needed to diversify, that we needed another stream of income. and we needed to do something that was more retail focused. Sometimes the opportunity doesn't start with just servicing others. It could be in servicing the legacy of your family.
People see that I work in finance and they always assume I'm a numbers person. Newsflash, I'm actually not a numbers person. I'm actually not that great with numbers. I'm actually really creative. Like that's, I love writing. I love figuring out different ways to solve a problem. And I'll tell you this, you and I own a percentage in 9 different dry cleaners. At one point we owned a percentage in 5 different gyms. And we put up very little of our own capital to be able to do that.
Quite creative.
Yeah. Like, because we figured out, like, there are certain people that have money that needs a home in terms of, like, a home for earning a return on investment. And we also figured out that we have the ability to start businesses and manage them well. And we merged those things together. And this problem that we solved was our lack of capital, really. So what I'm saying is, like, you can solve your problems going back to this notion of collective work and responsibility. Like, we've got the solutions, right? And so I think part of this notion of celebrating Kwanzaa by focusing a day on each of these things, why not sit down with your family and your friend groups and just talk out what are some of the ways that we can solve things, that we can get more with less or get more with what we have right now? Because I just really believe that we've been given everything we need to take care of ourselves. We've been given every financial resource. We've been given every gift in our community, in our families. We've got all the talents that we need to survive and to thrive. We just have to be creative in how we think about them.
And then we have one more. This is like the final.
This is, and by this point, the whole thing is lit. It's lit at this point. All 7, okay? Eat the corn at this point. Bite into the grapes. Like, they just been sitting there the whole time. If like, somebody's hungry.
If they're any good at this point, because you cannot leave grapes out on the counter for 7 days. I don't care if it's on a mat or not.
Okay.
You cannot leave them out like that.
All right, don't bite them if they're the dollar store plastic ones that we use in my house last 20 years, okay?
But now you're at the 7th principle, the final principle, Imani. Which stands for faith.
Which is one of your roommates. As well.
Not right now. But my college roommate. Yes, my college roommate. Her first name was Nia. Her middle name was Imani. Mm-hmm. So it made these two principles fairly easy for me.
See?
But faith. And that's just to believe with all your heart in our people, in our righteousness, in our victory, in our overcoming of struggle, in being empowered. It's faith in all ways, to be honest with you. Believing in something that's greater than you, believing in your own power, believing in collective power, believing that you can do whatever it is that you need to do. You know, for some people, it's a specific deity. Some people, it's, you know, God, it's yourself, whoever it is, right? But just, I think it starts with believing in yourself and then believing in something bigger and more powerful than you.
Yeah, to me, hope and faith are among two of the most powerful feelings that humans are capable of creating, of experiencing.
I also think it's your power.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our power is in our hope. Our power is in our faith.
You got to believe that things will get better. You got to believe that things are going to work out for you. No matter what the endeavor, whether it be starting a business, whether it be building wealth, whether it be creating a financial legacy in your family, whether it be setting your kids up for a better life than what you have, you got to believe in that. Like, we talked about speaking it. We talk about working together towards it. But it really goes back to you. It starts with you and it ends with you. You got to believe. And this notion of Imani is super important. You got to have faith.
So we've gone through the 7 principles.
Mm-hmm.
We're both going to be celebrating Kwanzaa for the first time this year.
Whatever. And it brought you back to Jesus, didn't it? Faith.
That's true. That's true. And I do appreciate that. I do appreciate, again, I just love the season. I love the season of giving. It's not particular to like Santa Claus. I'm not hung up on like those commercial traditional things. I do make light of them. I understand. I feel like children are allowed to like live in those fantasies, but overall, it's a feel-good season for me, and Kwanzaa feels like an extension of that feel-good season. And if for nothing else, it makes me hopeful that like I don't have to get all hung up on just one day. even though I still go ham. I'm going to always go ham for the 25th. But it's great to know that I have 7 more days after that to celebrate, mm-hmm. focus, and be intentional about what works best for me, my family, the community, and my world.
I look forward to hearing about the discussions that come as y'all celebrate. I don't think y'all are going to be together with his family for the whole 7 days. But I imagine the days that you are together, and his family, your boyfriend's family is one of intellectuals. Like, they got PhDs.
They're Southern.
And they're Southern, as opposed to country. Yes. Like, I think some great planning, some great thoughts, like, there's going to be ideas being birthed in that conversation.
No, for sure. Again, that really is our plan. Like, we have planned around taking that very, very seriously, sitting down with that. We're going to be out of the country for most of Kwanzaa, but we are going somewhere fairly remote so that we can sit down and really dedicate our time to planning with each other what the next year looks like. We didn't know each other last year. And so this is, you know, the first year that we will go into with each other. And we want to be super, super intentional about what that means for us as individuals and collectively.
Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy early New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Diwali. Anything you celebrate this holiday season, we honor you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next week.
I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.